My title today is What's the Message? What's your message? What's my message? What's our message to the world out there? What are we portraying? Not what we think we're portraying, but what are people seeing us doing? What are the unbelievers seeing in you? Do you know different than they are? That you seem like you're more important than they are? That you're praying for them? There are so many things that it can be. Or what do believers see in you? Do they see you as somebody talks all the time, don't listen? Somebody listens all the time, don't talk? Do they see you praying? Do they see you not praying? We can form an opinion on them, but what message are we relaying? And then my next question is, what message are you sending to God? Do we say, God, I got it all taken care of. Don't worry about it. Are we super spiritual on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday? We're cussing out our people at work. We're having a hard time. There's something to think about. What do the people at work think about you? What do they say about you? That doesn't really matter if you're following God. But if you're not following God, are you in there cussing and swearing and telling the dirty jokes just like they are? Or are they saying, oh, that's a man of God. I don't say that around him. Whether it is what we say or do or act, can people tell in the world that you are a follower of Christ? Or do we have to wear a t-shirt that says something or a hat that says something? Or do our words and our actions show that we're a follower of Christ? Our testimony is our witness to all of those around us. Galatians 5:16. I always like to look at myself and say, okay, this is what I'm looking at. But when we look at ourselves, are we looking at the other side of the story? What's coming out of our mouth or our actions? Somebody will say, wow, you're having an off day today. Do you step back and say, oh, what am I saying or what am I doing? What message am I showing today? And guess what? I fall down every day, and we all do. But we have to get up and just remember what the message is that we're doing. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we read all those and say, oh, that's not me, that's not me. Well, we need to take time to each one break it down, because it says, if you practice such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if our message is what we're doing these things, we may hide it from man even, but where are we hiding it from God? I talked to somebody, I think it was last week, and they said, you know, I think I finally got this figured out. I've been doing this Christian walk for 40 years, and I'm finally starting to get it. And when they said that, I thought, wow, let me think. I know that. The Israelites, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Did they ever get it? No, they never got it. They died in the wilderness. 2-day trip, and they took them 40 years. They never got out. But why was that? Because they were griping and complaining? I'm glad we don't do that, right? Or they don't have idols? Like that ringing thing in your pocket or your purse, that phone thing? That's not an idol, right? But they were given shade and food. God supplied all their needs. But they still didn't, that wasn't enough. So does God supply all of our needs? Is that enough? We don't have idols. We don't complain and gripe, right? Just asking you, because I have to answer the same question. But he put that in the Bible for a purpose, so that we could see that they had to wander for 40 years and they died in the wilderness. I don't think that's what any of us want. We shouldn't want to gripe and complain. And we shouldn't have idols, but we all do. But we need to figure out that if we're giving all to God, that we need to remove those things from our life. Because God's going to supply food for us. How about Joseph? He was given a vision, but his brothers didn't like that. So they sold him. I got four grandkids. One of them has a vision, and one of them, his brother and sister don't like it. They sell him. What happens? We think, oh, that's horrible. And it was horrible for Joseph. But in the end, what happened? His vision came to pass. And they bowed down before him. And it wasn't that he was saying, oh, I'm so important. That's not it. He got a vision from God. Do we get a vision from God? And that's the message he's given us. But we don't follow that vision because we think, oh, what's man going to say about it? What are they going to say? I want to make people happy. How many times do we spend making people happy? And we should be making God happy. Because where we go is a lot better than where we're at. And the last story I'm going to talk about is David and Goliath. His brothers were really jealous about him. He was just a little wee lad. We just sometimes want them to be quiet. Especially older brothers. But what did he have to offer? He stood up before a giant. And what God gave him to overcome that giant. And it's sometimes, like us, the simplest things. We can overcome all the giants in our lives. But are we putting all of our faith in God? He didn't need all the armor that they wanted to give him. He didn't need the spears. He needed the rock. That's all he needed. 9-foot-4-inch giant. How many of you got giants that are that big in your life right now? Mm-hmm. Pick up a rock. Let the people around you see what your message is, that you're wholly committed to God, that it just takes a rock to knock the giants out of your life. What message do we portray? Are we portraying the message that we're griping and complaining? Or are we living out the vision that God's given us, no matter what the situation around us, or what people are saying? Or are we killing giants in our lives and giving God the glory and not ourselves? If we give God the glory, we follow God, we win. We can't lose. We think staying alive on this earth is winning, and it's really not. But when we encounter situations or circumstances in our lives, what's the first thing that we do? We should be praying. We should be praying about it. But is it the first thing we do? We need to pray for results and answers. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray the word. We need to pray in the spirit. It shouldn't be something we think about later. There's many people in this church right now. If I ask them to come up here and pray, they wouldn't do it. But why is that? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid to talk to God? Are we afraid what man thinks? That's a tough one. I can remember when I first started doing this. I'm sorry, but I wasn't speaking in tongues either. My tongue just wasn't working. But when do we stop and put our faith in God that we need to pray without ceasing? Because we're going to have a testimony, but what is the testimony going to be? I said I'd pray, but I'm not going to. And I'm not trying to beat everybody up today because I have to go hear the same message, and I've heard it 2 or 3 times already, and some of it I don't like, but we need to be praying. We need to be able to step up and pray. You don't have to pray for 2 hours and say, oh yeah, but you can. Pray without ceasing, though. I get more from God in my alone time standing in the paint booth, because that's what I do for a living, paint cars, but nobody's bothering me. I get all the time in the world in there, and God gives me all sorts of things. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter if you're at work, if you're at home, if you're in bed. God's all over. He's around us. But remember, we need to be praying to God. We need to stop thinking, what is that guy going to think I'm doing? Or what is he going to say about my prayer? It doesn't matter. It's what God's thinking about it. It's what God's thinking about it. But we need to practice that so that when somebody says, can you pray? Well, you know, I'd rather not. Does that mean you're not praying in your own life? I can answer that. Turn to Matthew 6:5. I was always told when I started doing this, you just look at people and say, oh, they're sitting there in their underwear. That shouldn't bother you. No, that would bother me more. So it doesn't help. Whatever works for you, but that doesn't work, you know. Let God be in charge of what you're doing. Let God be God. Matthew 6:5. It says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So you can come into Matthew and read that prayer if you need to. But we just need to make sure we're praying. If we're not praying, then we're saying, God, you're not good enough. And I don't want to say that. We need the message that we portray to be about Jesus. And without prayer, we leave it to our own devices. I have an object lesson for you today, and I'll see how it works. This is you here. And this is the Word of God. I'm going to give it to you. And see, it's leaking out of you. That's a good thing. See, the Word of God just leaks right out of you. But then, we got the world. I'll dump some of the world in you. We're still praying every day, and we're still reading our word, but it's not coming out the same. Well, I got to go back to work tomorrow. Some more world in there, but I'm going to be praying about it. Uh-oh, it's not working. I'm not putting out anything now. I'm not spreading the word. The world's plugging me up. Better dump some more God in there. It's not as dark, but see the world, it's stuff's coming out, but some of it's still in the world. Well, my point is, we come on Sunday and we put the Word of God into us, and it's pure and comes in. But we go out, we live in the world, so we go out and the world comes into us. Are we praying every day? Are we reading the Word every day? Because the world's going to keep coming into you every day. And we don't want to get it so the world has so plugged up that we don't have a message to show. But we need to keep dumping more God because that world's going to keep coming in and it means it's dark. We keep dumping God into us. Eventually, it should come clear. It's hard to do that with the world because it's going to just keep filling us up. But that's why we have to rely on God all the time. We got to take the world out of us. We got to live in the world, but we don't live of the world. We just need to keep putting the God into us. Because if we don't put God into us, what happens? We put all the world into us. Yeah, here it is, here it is. Guess what's going to come out? Mud. Absolutely nothing. Darkness. If anything comes out of us. So what kind of witness are we then? What kind of testimony do we have? What kind of message are we having for the world? I'm good on Sunday because they come in and they dump all this word into me. But the rest of the week, they don't dump the word into you. It's not the pastor's or the church's responsibility to feed you. It's your responsibility to feed yourself. And if we don't feed ourselves, we're going to be all gunked up. We'll need more than an oil change. So remember, when you're going out in the world today, you're going to get stuff thrown at you. And you will fall down and you will fail, but you better get back up and you better pour some God into you. Because that's what it's going to take. Because if you want your message to the world that on Sunday, I'm the greatest person in the world, but during the week, I can't handle it. You need to be in your word. You need to be praying. Most important, we got to stop thinking about what the neighbor next door to us or the person in the class or the person, whoever, even family. We can't worry about what they think about what we do or don't do. My family isn't thrilled that I do this, but that's not my problem. I have to be a witness to them. Right after the first of the year, Pastor Brett told us he wanted us to fast and pray for a week, right? Did we all do that? I did this, and the Holy Spirit showed me something, and I thought, that must just be for me, so I don't need to tell you. Well, then he kept telling me, so I'm going to share it with you today. Let's look at 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do we have to do? We have to confess our sins, right? To get forgiveness, right? Right. Well, God showed me that, yes, we need to forgive, and God will forgive you all your sins. But there's something else we should be doing. Because when we ask God to forgive us of our sins, we're asking God to do something for us, right? Okay, but how often do we repent? Do we repent of our sins, or do we just ask for forgiveness? Because if we repent of our sins, we have to do something about it. We aren't putting it all on saying, God, you take care of this. We're saying, God, I'm going to repent of this sin. And we'll look up a scripture, Matthew 3:2. It's talking about John the Baptist, and it says in Matthew 3:2, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I thought, well, we can talk about repentance. So what does repentance really mean? It says, repentance is a decision that results in a change of mind, which in turn leads to a change of purpose and action. So if you go to God and you say, I repent of whatever the situation is, does that make more sense than saying, God, please forgive me? Next day, God, please forgive me. We keep doing the same thing. We're just asking for forgiveness. That's not changing, but if we repent, we're going to change, right? And that means the message that we have will be that we're changing for God because God says, repent. Okay, I can repent. But then don't keep doing it again. That says change of mind, change of purpose and action. So that means you should stop doing it. Let's look up another scripture about repenting. Revelation 3:19. He's talking about a lukewarm church. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten or discipline. Therefore, be zealous or eager and repent. So are you eager to repent? We should be. Do we pray and fast to receive guidance from the Lord? The Word tells us to forgive. Don't hold anything against anybody. We're not supposed to judge people. We're not supposed to gossip. We're not supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're not supposed to be double-minded. We're not supposed to be offended. We have all these things that we can look at ourselves. To me, the thing we need to do is examine ourselves. If we examine ourselves and say, oh, or maybe we need to walk in the other person's shoes. Because we can get offended by somebody, but maybe we don't know the situation, circumstances they're in. We can judge people, we can gossip about people, but do we know the situation, circumstances they're in? Do we have the mind of Christ when we do that? Yeah, that's what God would do. He'd just smite them down, yeah. And we're not supposed to be double-minded. Turn to John 15:9. It says, as my Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So it says, abide in his love. And we can say, well, God's love is so huge. But if you go right to the next sentence, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So if we keep his commandments, we will abide in his love. We'll know what his love is. So what are his commandments? And it talks about joy. Pastor Brett says we should be the happiest people in the world. That your joy may remain full. So what if your joy don't stay full? How do you get more joy? Love. And then it says in there a couple times, abide. So abide, and we're supposed to live in his love, basically. What does the love of God mean to us? We have such a skewed thought of what love is that we look how the world uses love and says, oh, well, I'm doing better than that. But that's not God's love. If you want to think about God's love, we got to remember, he sent his son to the cross. He's not asking us to go to the cross. He's not asking us to send our children to the cross. We have a God that loves so much that we do these stupid things and he just don't say, well, let's take them out. He don't do that. When do we figure out what love really is? There's a difference between love and lust. A big difference. But God's love is never ending. Never ending. Do we love one another as Christ loves us? In verse 12, that's what it says. You love one another as I have loved you. If we don't know how God has loved us, how can we love our neighbor like that? We always say, oh, I love that person, but I don't like him very much. Well, that's good. And if God told you he loved you, but he didn't like you, that wouldn't work very well, would it? But we need to abide in God's love. We need to live in his love. How can we understand what it is if we just hear it spoken or read about it in the Word, but we don't live it? We need to live the Word of God. Turn to Matthew 22, 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if I read this and said, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart and with your soul and with your mind, that'd be totally different. I left out one word, a three-letter word that says all. What does all mean? All. Everything you got. So if you love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, you are in heaven. But we sometimes want to substitute all for just saying, with my heart, loving with my heart. It's just like I said, tithes and offering. It's all. Trust in God with, you know, all your heart. But do we figure out what all means? And that's just the first one. The second commandment is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? If we don't understand God's love, how can we love somebody that way? I found out that the more and more that I dig into this word, the deeper and deeper it gets. How deep do you want to go with God? How much of all do you want to figure out? If you want to be a surface Christian, you're going to get what you put into it. If you don't put anything into the word, you don't put any time into God, what's it say? I don't know you. You perform miracles. I don't even know you. I don't think anybody wants to hear that. But do we want to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind? Love your neighbor as yourself? That's asking a lot, God. You don't understand my neighbor. But who's your neighbor? We can think of all the excuses to give God, but what does the word say? Love your neighbor as yourself. First thing we need to do is start that we need to love ourselves and not in the worldly way. We need to live it in a godly way. Because if we can't love ourselves, if we don't think God can do all these things, then how can we love our neighbor? 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitations. And I thought, what did that really mean? God's going to come back. And if we don't share the word of God with people, they're going to go to hell. Simple fact. They were talking about somebody yesterday that went to the primetimers, had never been to church before, didn't know anything about it. All we can do is plant the seeds because we can't get them saved. That's up to God. But are we planting seeds to everybody around us? Are we planting seeds in the neighbor that we just really don't like? Are we planting seeds to that person that just talks us down, tries to make us look bad? Are we still praying for them? Or take them, God. I don't want to deal with them anymore. Because we can get into our little box and think, I'm in my little box here. No, nothing around the world is going to bother me. But there's things going on in this world that are horrible. And we can't bury our head in the sand anymore. We better be praying about everything. We better be out on the front lines, doing the work. I mean, everybody wants to go to China. How many people want to go to China? Raise your hand. There's a virus over there. Do you want to go to China? She's going because God called her to go. Okay, God, sorry, I can't go because you aren't as big as this virus going on. Well, you just put God in a box now. And we can look at the situation, circumstance around us and say, it is horrible here. But it's not. We got a God that loves us. We got a God that when we can't walk through a situation, he'll pick us up and carry us. We need to realize that there's people out there that are ugly, but you know what? God still loves them just as much as he loves us. We don't get this pass and get this big star by our name because we're saved and they're not. God loves everybody, and we should love everybody, even the people that we think are just, oh, no. We got to quit looking at people through human eyes. We need to look through them with godly eyes, with spiritual eyes, and say, there's a soul that needs saved. There's a person I need to pray for right now. They haven't said anything, but I need to pray for them. Because when we start looking at the situations and the circumstances around us, we're defeated. It's just too big. It's bigger than us. And it is. It's bigger than us. We can't do it. But we have a God that's big. Big God. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Do we believe that? Do we believe the word? Or do we have little slimline Bibles because we tore out the pages of things we didn't want to hear? It's true. If we're going through the Bible and we don't like this, so we don't read it, we basically tore out the page. And said, God, I don't believe that part. I don't want to do that part because you told me to. I don't want to do it. Well, then you're not giving him your all. If we don't give God our all, we're just playing a game. I'm sorry, I never knew you. But we have to give a message to the people in the world that our God can do all things. And it's not that we need to be boastful and say, oh, look at me. Wow, I got a tie on, big deal. What's that matter? What's that matter? I don't care if you got holes in your pants and you don't have food. God still loves you, but we need to be praying for you. But we need to pray for ourselves too. Not this, oh God, I'm in a situation this week. I'm going to have to kick the dog and the kids don't have any food and I don't have any clothes. And God, I don't know what to do. What should I do, God? Let's just see. I'll just sit here and wait for you to do something. Mm-hmm. Come on, God, what are you doing? I've been waiting. And we say, God, what are you doing? God's right there. What are you doing? We don't want to pray for ourselves. We don't want to pray for others, but we want the blessings from God. We want to rub that lamp and say, oh, God, here it is. That's not how it works. God loves us so much, he won't do that for us. But when do we get tired of being sick and tired of what's going on around us and say, God, I'm on my knees, I'm going to pray. God will meet you right where you're at every time. So turn to Ephesians 2. Do you know, I'm going to tell on myself right now. You know, when I'm up here speaking to you guys, the Holy Spirit just envelopes me. But I need to live like that 24/7, 7 days a week. And we all do. That we're going to listen to the Spirit all the time. Not just when we need to speak or when something comes up, but we need to do it all the time. If we're listening to God all the time, the message we're going to have for people around us is God can do all things. We're going to get you saved. We're going to get you refreshed, renewed, everything. But we have to be willing to do that, because if we're not, we're just going through the motions. Ephesians, what did I say? 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in glory, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not by yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're his workmanship. And it's been prepared beforehand. He already knows what you're going to do. He already knows. We aren't fooling God anything. But I want us to realize that the message that we have is the message that we should be giving to the world. If we're going to be downtrodden, beaten up people in the world, why would anybody want to be a Christian? If we're going to stand in the corner and yell, "Turn or burn," it's not going to save a lot of people. That might work in a few, but it won't work in everybody. We need to be what God's called us to be. Every one of us is different. Every person here is totally different. So you have a different message to give. And I don't know how many are in here today, but if everybody gives their message, you're going to affect this world. You're going to affect this valley for God. And is that what we want? We can sit up here and say, let's do some signs and wonders and miracles and do some things, and people are going to come in. Yeah, they will. But we need to do something. We need to not hide behind the bush and say, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. Yeah, you can. You can. We've talked about this before, you know, about knocking on doors. I can't knock on a door. I can't knock on. I don't know what's behind it. So who's knocking on the door? You or God? Have to ask ourselves that every day. Who's knocking on the door? When they open the door and it's not what you expect, what are you going to do? What if it's somebody in the grocery store? What if it's somebody at your school? What are we going to do? Just remember, when you're going about things, just keep pouring God in, because the world's going to get in. There's a lot of world. But if you let too much world in, what's going to happen? Nothing's happening. If you're giving out anything, it's out worldly stuff. I'm going to close with this. The message that we give will determine where we are in Christ. Do we want to give a message that says, I got to get by God. Just get by. He just gets me last minute, God. Do we want to have a God that says, go to China. There's problems over there, but go to China. It's an opportunity. Look at it as an opportunity. Do we need to pray? Do we need to work on praying? Do we need to work on loving? Lord God, I thank you and I praise you that this message didn't sound harsh, but it sounded realistic, that we need to do things, that we can't just expect you to do it all for us, that we just sit and wait for God. Father God, I praise you and I thank you that you give us all what we need, that we don't look at the situation and the circumstance around us. We don't look at what we can't do, but we look at what we can do through you, Father God. Father God, I thank you that when situations and circumstances come up around us, that we don't shy away. We speak the word of God. We pray in every circumstance. And Father God, I thank you and praise you that as people leave today, they say, God, what can I do for you? What do you got for me to do, Father God? Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to them right now. Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.